Hi, Tony. This is Cheryl.
It's Ashley Williamson as well.
Greg Finotti. Hi, Tony.
And Courtney Benson. Hi, Tony.
And I'm Cheryl Christie. I didn't say my last name. And we're going to do the final, and Greg's going to start us off.
Okay, I'm just going to start with this first question. How does Turner utilize the polarized lens experiment used to suggest the existence of angels and their purpose? Well, when we look at the polarized lens experiment, and as he talks about it, he's saying basically that in the polarized lens experiment, we can see that we have existential control over the past. And the way that this is observed in the experiment is that the photon should not be able to pass through the two polarized lenses. The first one is at 90 degree angles to the second, so there should be no way for them to pass through. Even if a third one is put in the middle, it still doesn't make sense that it would be able to go through all three, unless if after it goes through the second one, it completely forgets everything that happened with the first one. And so what kind of sense does that make? How can a photon forget anything? It doesn't really. What happens is that we've affected what happens with the photon because of the situation that we've put it in. Therefore, we've affected what happened in the past by making it forget about the first polarizer it went through, and therefore we've just affected the past. And so, in Turner's article, when he talks about the angels, he's talking about beings from the future that can affect the past and therefore affect our current being. Now, he goes on to talk about what these angels are and the different things that they may be. I think we'll get into that a little bit later. But for right now, basically, suffice it to say, angels are some being from the future that have control over the past. And because we know that we have control over the past from this experiment, it all makes sense. The second question he asks here is, list the many scientific theories that Turner includes in this essay and add credibility to his perspective on quantum entanglement. Well, he talks about the Big Bang. We know from these experiments that we really don't have a whole lot of control over things after they're past the level of, I guess, the angstrom, smaller than subatomic particles, or about subatomic particle level. And so one way that we know that we can have control over the past is by when we look back, when we're observing the Big Bang, you keep looking back and observing more, and you see things that lead more and more to the Big Bang. And when we look far enough into space, we can actually see remnants of the Big Bang. And so when you look at this stuff and we start to theorize about what actually happened and trace the events based on things that we can see very far away, we know that everything may have come to an infinite point. And once we start to study that size, this size smaller than subatomic particles, and we realize that we have control over things in the past about that size, we begin to realize that we have control over the entire universe by just looking at what happened in the Big Bang. So if you guys have any questions, go ahead and pop in while I'm saying this stuff.
I have one. So basically, how are we changing our past by observing it? Like, it's a whole crazy aspect. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, but that's what he sees.
Right.
It's amazing.
Well, it is amazing, you're right. excuse me. Yeah, I don't think that we necessarily, or that he's even saying that we necessarily have control. I mean, he does even say in here that we only have control over things at the subatomic level, because once they get larger than that, other things have control over them too. It's not just us. It's other immaterial matter can affect things. Therefore, once it gets above this size, we can't really affect it much because it's already been brought about into creation and its whole being. But he does quote a couple of experiments, and he talks about the wave function collapsing, which when we look at a wave slit experiment, when a single photon is passed through it, it has the ability to end up anywhere within a given range, probability range. But when we look at it, it only exists in one point on the screen, one spot on the screen on the other side. So by looking at it, we've caused it to make some decision on where it's going to be. And because of that, we've just controlled what happened with that photon, even though it already happened. So it's the same type of thing. And by saying that, that we have control over everything in the past, it kind of makes sense when you think about when we look at the Big Bang, because everything was at that level of the Big Bang, and the Big Bang went on to create every single thing that is now in existence. So even though we may not be able to control, by looking at a picture from yesterday, we may not be able to control what a person did. By looking back at the Big Bang and controlling what happened at that level, we basically are affecting every single thing that led up to that picture. And so the more that we study about the Big Bang, the more that we will be able to have control over what happened in that picture that was done yesterday.
Which kind of goes back to the lenses. Me adding in that 45-degree angle lens is now affecting it, pretty much.
But see, to me, it's affecting it. It's not changing. Like, it's going to do either way. It's not going to, like, change the past, like, how it did. I don't know, just, like,
Well, how can you affect something without
changing? Like, with the Big Bang, like, it already happened, like, billions of years ago. Like, you already know. We know it happened. And, like, the stuff that we're doing today has, like, changed, or, like, the way we live, like, everything has, like, accumulated to change the universe, but, like, not change the past.
Like, but how do you know that we can't, like, somehow create a kind of, like, a Big Bang theory in ourselves? Like, what if we What if we go back and as, like, how the scientists are trying to figure out what happened with the Big Bang theory and what came about it and how it started, and what if we were able to create a Big Bang theory and created a whole new universe? We would be starting all over again. And so how...
Well, it's kind of like
But that's not changing the past.
But it's like the lenses. You know, you have your two lenses at the 90-degree angle. They're not going through. But I add in that 45-degree angle lens. Now I'm changing it. Originally, in the past, I was not able to allow the waves to go through. But now that I'm adding in that, 45-degree angle lens, the light is going through. Not all the way. Therefore, I've affected it. I've changed the past.
But see, to me, that's not changing the past. That's changing, like, its present reaction to whatever you're doing to it. Like, but it already reacted that way. That already happened. It can go a different way if you put in something else. It's going to change how it's behaving, like, present. But how can you change its past? Photons don't have memory. They just do what they do. They're just there. They're light particles.
Yeah, but how could it, if you're not changing its past, then how could it not, how is it that it's able to go through all three lenses? Because it only has, if it went through the first lens and went through the second lens, I mean, if you're looking at just, like normal vector anything, you're talking about vectors and physics, once it goes through the first lens, it only has one direction to it. And when it goes to the second lens, the only reason it's able to go through that lens, if you're talking about with all three lenses, in the case of all three lenses, is because at a 45-degree angle, it has some of the properties of still the vertical angle to it. So it should still have some of that allowed to go through. But then once you get to the third lens, it's at a complete 90-degree angle to the first. So there's no way possible that it could get through there unless after it went through the second lens, it's completely forgotten about what happened in the first lens.
But see, they don't have memory. They just... you're adding in basically a wall that's moving it or something that's going to change its direction. That's not...
So that's changing what it's changing what it's doing,
but not what it was doing.
It's changing what it's done.
Because it already did it. It already went through.
It's saying that it's changing what it's done because the light didn't go through, and then when the 45-degree angle was put in, the light went through. And so instead of no light coming through, now that the 45-degree angle is put in, the light is going through, so you change what it has done.
Like, I get how it affects it. Like, it's changing what it's doing. To me, it's not when it's done.
So then the way that you're saying it, that means that if you're changing what it's doing, then it's redirecting it somehow?
Yeah, it's just changing, its behavior.
But it doesn't change direction, though. That's a thing. It only can delete parts of its directionality.
Just reminds me of Back to the Future. That's all I can say.
Okay, how about what's the last question on this first part? How do these theories relate to Turner's main theme? Okay, well, actually, I think everything that we were just talking about relates to the main theme, because it seems to me like his main theme is that whatever we do now has control over the past as well as the future. And since we were just talking about how the past can be controlled, and we know that your future can be controlled just based on the decisions that you make, then, of course, everything that we just talked about would relate exactly to his main theme. Do you guys agree with that?
Yes.
I have to say I agree.
No?
Hey, Tony, it's Ashley. Okay. One of the things that Turner mentioned here was the peculiar thing about such moments is that by their unpredictability before the event combines with their retrodictability after it, they radically defy the requirement that the truth be independent of time. Now, basically what I think he's suggesting here comes from the stories like the Odyssey he mentioned before. Your actions in the past affect your future. You may think you have a choice, but the actions you've done in the past have already set forth your future. So in reality, you don't have a choice. Like, what my ancestors did in the past has set forth my future. I may think I'm here by choice, but what they did has put me on the path I am on today. And the
Can I just say something?
Oh, go.
What if, so I agree with what you just said, but what if, like, so we're talking about, you know, actions in the past affect the future, and what your ancestors did affect the fact that you're here now. But what if, like, how we were talking about how we have control over the past, what if the fact that you existing and wanting to exist now maybe affected something that your ancestors did? Maybe the fact that you're here now and your desire and your desire to exist make it so that in the past your great-great-great-grandmother and your great-great-great-grandfather got a little tinkle in their eye or whatever you call it, you know, when they saw each other.
You made them.
Yeah, well, maybe you did. Maybe your existence and your being had some kind of effect back then, and that attraction that they had to each other had something to do with the fact that one day you would exist, even though they had no idea at that point, but your existence now had control over that.
Well, maybe it works in both ways, because if what they do in the past affects me today, and from Turner's belief that, you know, the future affects the past, like with the subatomic particles and everything, maybe it works both ways. Maybe the future is affecting the past, and the past is affecting the future. They both correlate. Maybe that's what the whole idea is.
See, like, I think, like, our past, like, affects, like, where we are today. Like you said, like, for our great-great-grandparents, like, they affect how we got to where we are today. Even though, like, I don't think that we can affect what they did, but, like, how they met, and then how, like, you know, their, like, our grandparents met, and then our parents met, like, all that, like, affects, like, how we got to where we are today, like, how we were raised, how we were, even, like, how we were, like, thought of or whatever.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the, what was it, reciprocal time, or cyclic time?
Oh, cyclic time?
Cyclic time. And so, well, what Ashley was saying with the future affecting the past or the past affecting the future, it could be just going in a big circle where they, her grandparents or whoever, had a way of life and Ashley came about, but Ashley could have back, like, already, it might have already gone where Ashley went back into the past in the sense where she affected her grandparents, so I don't know.
I don't believe the whole cyclical time thing. I think time is just keeps going.
Why is it that we can remember everything that happened in the past? Like, we can think about everything that happened in the past, right? But
you can't go there.
But we can't go there, but yet...
You can't
but
change
doesn't
it.
Everything go through a cycle?
But when you make a decision, you can affect something that happens in the future, right? So, like, you think about what's happening or what's happened, and you affect something that happens in the future. But why is it that it can't go the other way around? Why is it that you only have memory of the past and you can't remember the future? I mean,
the future hasn't happened. Like, you, like,
but we can,
like,
make predictions.
How Ashley, I don't like how Ashley said, well, what he says that we can, that we don't have control over the future, but you, like, you have, if you, it's like you were saying earlier, if you take a different, you had to have path A and you have path B. Well, if you take path B, it's going to lead you somewhere else than A would, and you would have a different future. I think whatever you do now is going to affect where you're going to be. Like, I don't think that your future is set. Like, you make your own decisions.
But I don't think that's what he's saying.
That's not what he's saying.
You have no choice.
Yeah, he's saying you have no choice.
He's saying it's inevitable.
I don't think that's right.
I don't think he's saying that you don't have a choice. I think he's saying that...
You believe you have a choice, but he's saying everything's set in
He's
motion.
Saying it's already set. Like, whatever you did, whatever your parents did, that means you're all set for your future. You... Doesn't matter what decision you make, that's your future set. That's how it's gonna be. That's what it seems
well,
like.
Well, I think you still have choices of like how you're saying A or B, but it's after you pick the road B, like your future will start getting into place that way. It's not that you didn't have a choice of picking.
Yeah, see, your
B.
Futures would be different.
It's just like it's there's a set plan set. For every single person. That's what I believe. But you can still make choices along the way that can affect what your life could have been like and what it's like now.
Well, if there's a set plan for every single person, then how was that plan set? Unless somebody had this kind of, you know, existential vision to the past of the future.
It goes back around to the future.
So someone has to have been able to see the future, just like I was talking about. Like, why do we have memory of the past, but we can't think about the future the same way? If there's a set plan, that means that someone must have, or some being or something, must have some kind of ability to see the future.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then they have to be able to affect the past.
Yeah, and I mean, like, how you're saying that, did we talk about angels yet? But, like, that might be the job of the angels, too.
And that's what he was saying, huh? That, like, the angels, how the angels can affect the past and the
and
present.
The
or
yeah.
the future.
Right, and probably the
and
present.
And the present.
So,
like,
I mean,
they affect your decisions, like, what you did. I don't know, he talks about how, like, the angels can change the past and how they can change the future.
I don't know. Still a little
odd,
but
let's move on.
Okay.
He discussed weak and strong and anthropic principles, and basically what those are is there's two formats to that, which I've already mentioned, strong and weak. Weak is basically the conditions that are observed in the universe must allow the observer to exist. But then strong is when the universe must have those properties which allow the development within it at the same stage in history. So basically what it's saying is, if something must be true for us as humans to exist, then it is true simply because we exist. So basically it's kind of like what you see is what you get. And I kind of already gave an example to basically how everything correlates with how what my ancestors did in the past basically, you know, affects my future. But then like Greg mentioned before, if we already have a set future, then that means something in the future is affecting our past. So it's like going
I'm not saying that that everything's already set. Like I don't necessarily agree with that. What I think, and maybe what the author is saying too, is that it's kind of like, you know, everything's in harmony with the past, present, and future. The future affects the past affects the future, and the present is some kind of, you know, cognition of what's going on in between the two. And I think that because the future can affect the past and the past can affect the future, that means that everything that we presently experience and all the memories that we have and everything that's going to happen must be in some kind of harmony with all of this happening together. It's not one thing has full control over the other or vice versa.
Well, see, that kind of throws me off when he says that choice was inevitable all along. It's like that, just his statement right
like
there.
Their choice was already made.
He
no
mentioned
what.
That a couple of times, like in the first part of his essay. Like, your choice, it's like you thought you had a choice, but really, it was inevitable. It was already set. So it's like you go back and forth and contemplate it. It's like it doesn't really.
Well, maybe, I mean, see, yeah, that doesn't make sense to me either because the decisions we make. Do you guys want to get into like what the angels are now? Should we talk about that?
Yeah. We'll just jump. Yeah, just jump.
The
for
angels
it.
Are in this question, so yeah.
Okay, so I mean, if the angels, like he's saying, supposedly are our descendants, which makes sense if everybody from the future has, you know, control over the past, that the angels would be our descendants.
Mm-hmm.
Then whatever choices we make would affect them, and even if their choices can affect us, can come back and affect us, our choices still would affect them. You know, like what we decide to do, say I, you know, I don't know, say I went out and didn't have kids, you know, then I wouldn't have that angel, supposedly.
But do you think that the angels already knows that you're not going to have kids, and so they already plan on you not following the path of, like, having children, so they already know? Like, they're not necessarily your unborn children or whatever?
Well, yeah, no, I guess it wouldn't have to be. It would be anybody looking back, you know.
Right.
So it could be, it wouldn't have to be my children, but descendants of us, of humans.
Right.
But still, any choice that you make affects them, just like the choices that they could make would affect us. So
what
that's
if
why
I
was saying.
Go above the angels, okay, well, who are theirs? And how does it go back to affect them? It's just like, how far does it go?
Well, their angels are just for their descendants, right?
So,
I mean, well.
Like our kids' kids?
Well, like our kids'
like
kids.
Like our kids, yeah. Like, because they're saying, like, our children are our angels. Like, our unborn children are our angels. Well, then their unborn children would be their angels, right?
Yeah.
So it just keeps going.
It keeps going. But if time is cyclical, then eventually...
It's going to have to go back.
It comes back around. So we are the angels of those
people way
in the future.
That's what he does say also. So
great. We're just going in a big
that's
circle.
That's what he says, but...
You don't have to agree with it.
Yeah, I know. I don't.
I think we've all come to conclusions
yeah.
a little out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and which one of these questions? I mean, I guess we can just keep reading these questions, but it kind of is taking its own turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we just have to jump to something else. Like,
should I go on to 4?
Yeah, go ahead, I guess.
Okay. Well, here, let me read the question. Reality is, when unobserved, only approximate is its nature, and its probability function or wave function specifying a number or possible states which it might assume if challenged, at which time the packet of uncertainty then constitutes a particle before it is measured is collapsed, forced retroactively to make up its mind. As we were talking about earlier, we were saying that, or Greg actually stated that topic about the light going through the slit, and Turner states in his paper that reality then depends partly on how we measure it. The two-lens system asked in a different question of the world than a three-lens system, and thus the answer is different. And he's also saying that in the world we half perceive what we half create, and the questions we ask now are already in the past by the observer. So, again, it seems like he's talking about our lives are already kind of put into play, and we're making decisions that might already be made for us by our angels.
He does say here that we, what does it say, half perceive and half create?
Yeah, you
create,
half perceive,
yeah.
half create.
So it doesn't sound like everything's set in motion. It sounds
yeah.
like
I think we do get a choice. I think we do get a choice, but it's like after we make that choice, then there's already a set of decisions that are going to be made. And then
that
once you make another
sense.
Choice, then all these decisions are going to be made. So you still, I see it as you can still make decisions. It's not totally set, but after you make your decision, there's, I don't want to say consequences,
but
like, yeah, there's a different path for every decision that you make.
Which then again affects the future.
Okay, so... We have a new turn on how we're going to do this, Tony. We don't really like the idea of answering each question at a time because we kind of all like putting in our input. So we're going to cover all the topics in the questions that you've given us, but we're going to...
Have a big discussion.
Yeah, we're going to discuss it and have a good time. So have fun listening to us.
I think it's easier to do it that way because we keep having to stop and read the questions and then just kind of throws off the whole conversation. So,
definitely.
All right, so let's get into it.
All right.
I just want to tell you guys, like, what my theory is on this entire thing.
Go for
thing
it, Greg.
Here.
I agree. We want to hear it.
And then you guys can, like, say whatever about it, or you can, you know, tell me what you think about it. But so
ask you what you're smoking.
So, actually, one of these questions is asking about it. I think when it says what does it say here? From I don't even remember where, which question it is, but where the hell is this? Okay, so in this question, when it says, you know, it's asking about the one day the evil distinction between artificial and natural will be thrown down, and blah blah blah, escape from the mind forged manacles which alienate us from the creative and self-reflective evolution of the rest of nature.
This guy's crazy.
Yeah, that's a scary just quote.
Well, I know.
I think where he was going with this article, I mean, in that whole respect, is he's talking about, you know, one day, like, how we're able to create, you know, they say artificial intelligence or whatever now.
Tony's theory.
It's not Tony's theory.
Yeah, Tony.
But just the...
Good try, Tony.
Just the fact that... that, you know, we're creating these computers that will eventually become smarter than us because they're way faster than us. They don't ever forget anything. And there's going to become a point, especially with this whole quantum computer uprising and all that, that they'll be able to process things, you know, as quickly and as many things at a time as we can.
I know this is a little off, but kind of like the movie Matrix, if you think about it.
Yes, exactly. Definitely.
Or Matrix. Terminator.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Computers became self-aware.
Artificial AI. Oh, wait, no, what's the one?
Yeah, artificial intelligence. Yeah.
That's the one that Will Smith did?
Yeah, exactly.
Robot.
No, it's robot.
Yeah. No,
robot.
Artificial intelligence was the one.
That was the one with the little boy. No, but, yeah. So robot. Robots went crazy.
Yeah, they killed humans.
Well, Tony thinks we're all going to be replaced by them anyways.
Well, not necessarily replaced.
Not replaced,
I mean,
but, like,
download our consciousness into them.
Yeah, you're
going to
be
downloaded
into a computer.
They'll be our descendants.
Well, that's what Turner talks about. He's saying, like, okay, so that becomes our angels or whatever. I mean, and that would be the case if our descendants are our angels and we create this computer race that ends up, you know, evolving into the next new thing, then they would become our angels.
Yeah, they would be our angels because that would be our descendants.
And if we could download ourselves into them, then we wouldn't cease to exist. But maybe we wouldn't, and maybe we would cease to exist. And either way, they would still be our descendants. One way it's either us in them, or one way it's just them coming from us, but regardless.
But does that mean that we will always be here then? Does that mean that we'll never disappear since we're downloaded into a chip or robot or whatever? Does that mean, like, our existence will always exist?
Well, possibly. I mean...
Then there's going to be, like, 80 million people, billion.
Yeah, but think about this. So all computers are connected through the internet right now, right? Or not all, but anyone's that are, you know, online. So if all of our consciousnesses were downloaded into computers...
That would be crazy.
And they could all be meshed together, it would be like we would all become one big,
like,
giant
super
collective conscious.
Wow. And what fun is that?
No, we all, like, have our individuality.
Well, apparently that's the only way that new ideas come about, is the fact that we all do have our own individuality, and together, whatever, we're good, but individually we're horrible or whatever. Yeah.
Wasn't that your statement, Tony?
I think it was that we're stupid individually.
There you go. So if that's the case, then if we were all downloaded and we had one giant collective conscious, we'd be one giant stupid being because
no
because
one else
we'd all
could.
Be one being.
There are no groups, Tony. This doesn't work.
Yeah, there'd be one conscious, like, super conscious, but you know how many stupid people are in this world?
But there's no more room for ideas. There's no more room for improvement.
Yeah.
Because everyone's ideas would be mixed together.
You wouldn't be able to decide from at all.
Right. Nothing's going to happen. Yeah.
And
we're
no
stuck.
One, like Mozart, as the paper was saying, Mozart wouldn't know how to create his music, or we wouldn't understand music because it would just be
art or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And
because an individual created that, and if we become one, there's no way to create individuality.
Turner, I guess, in the paper is talking about, like, you know, these beings in the future won't understand any of that art or, you know, music or any of that kind of stuff, any of that geniusness.
Right.
Which would make sense if they were all one big stupid being.
Right.
But how about this? Think about this. This is what I was starting to say before.
Food for thought.
So, here's this computer race in the future, be it one giant being or maybe somehow that they're still all separated in, you know, a bunch of individuals, and trying to figure out, like Turner was talking about, trying to figure out, you know, why was Mozart a genius and why was, well, any of these, you know, any artist or whoever, Picasso or whatever, and it wouldn't be able to figure it out because everything's just pure logic. There isn't any kind of, there's no sort of, you know, creative thought or new ideas. It's all pure logic. And so this thing, in order to, this race, in order to try to figure out, you know, how these artists and poets and whatever else were able to do what they were to do, able to do, and understand how, you know, their ancestors, meaning us, had feelings, what these feelings meant, would have to start creating some type of experiments, right, to try to explain it. And if they could never create any type of human being, or maybe even if they could, they still wouldn't be able to understand it. So the only thing that they could do is start the whole cycle over again. So what if they were able to create a Big Bang? Boom. There's Big Bang. Flash forward however many billion years or trillion years or whatever. And then, you know, we're back in the same situation again. Here we are looking at the Big Bang and having control over it. Now we're having control over what happened before the Big Bang because it's below this subatomic particle size. And if you think about it, we're having control over that because we're having control over the people that created the Big Bang, which are our descendants, which are this robot race, and the whole thing just keeps going around in circles. Kind of freaky. What do you guys think about that?
Okay. If we recreate the Big Bang, right?
Right.
For our so-called angels or artificial intelligence, whatever you want to call it. How would they change it to help them? Like, how would that be, like, I don't know.
Well, they would be recreating it to understand us, their ancestors.
They're going to watch it? I mean, how would that be possible?
Well, I don't know. That technology is beyond me.
Greg, what would that say?
I know. Sorry, but I'm just saying, like, in general, if they do recreate it, how are they going to affect it? Like, how are they going to change us? They make everything start over. What are they going to do?
Just as we were saying before, just by observing an experiment, you affect it. So just them observing it will affect it. And they've already affected it because they created it. It wouldn't even have existed without them, so that means that they've affected it, right?
So if we do a whole new system, would we follow the same path? Or basically it's going to be changed now since they've now affected it.
Right, but maybe it's not being changed because maybe it's the exact same path of what happened the first time.
So we're going through the same cycle over and over and over again, or, no, we're probably going through the same cycle over and over and over again.
So we could be going through the same cycle over and over again, or we could just...
How about there's been Big Bangs before us? How would we even know that?
Maybe it's multiple universes.
Yeah, maybe.
Like in the video we watched in class.
Do you know how many psycho videos we watched in class?
I'm just saying! It was like the video! The quantum physics one. Remember you talking about like alternate realities?
Oh yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yes. It's like that.
Like so, we don't know if there's another Big Bang that happened in outside of the Milky Way or something. You never know.
So if time is cyclical, it doesn't necessarily... Maybe time could be cyclical and linear at the same time. Because time's cyclical, right? Like, say this theory that I just, you know, derived from this paper that I was just talking about, say that exists, right? And these Big Bangs keep being created, and now there's new human races, new robot races, Big Bang, human race, robot race, Big Bang, keeps happening, right? And every time this robot race is observing, and so, but instead of it just going in circles like it is, it's also every time there's a new bang, there's another Big Bang, there's another universe.
Right.
And so there's still these observers from the past universe, but now there's a new universe, and if this just keeps going on forever, then there's an infinite amount of universes, which would
make... Like, they're out there, like, they can watch us, but we don't know what's actually...
Yeah, but our descendants will be watching somebody else.
Yeah. Well, everyone's observing everyone. That's how everything's being changed, also.
And so then maybe, like, in the wave slit experiments and stuff like that, when the psi function collapses, when you check on it, it collapses into our universe. But when people from these other universes that come from all these different cyclical things going on look at the same experiment happening at the same time, it collapses into their universe in a different way.
Yeah, that's a tongue twister.
No? Yes?
I don't know.
That concept just confuses me. But I can see what you're saying from what Turner is saying, I guess. But it
doesn't necessarily...
Well, I read his
that's
article,
just from what he's
and
talking.
So I had control over him writing it.
We're like,
that's
you will write this, so we can talk about this.
No, he was seriously on something when he wrote this.
Well, he's not even a scientist, so I don't...
Journalists writing some... a philosophy from going to one convention, I don't think so. Making up words.
AKA Turner doesn't have a grip on reality.
Yes.
Maybe he does, though. Maybe he has more of a grip than anybody else. That's the thing. I mean,
I guess we do. We might just not understand.
It would be interesting to get an actual quantum physicist's take on this.
Yeah.
Well, him and a quantum physicist.
A what?
Have both of them in here and just go at it.
Him and a quantum physicist?
Yeah, just
well,
have them.
Maybe a quantum physicist would agree with him, though.
But then, and then get somebody else who doesn't, another scientist with a philosophy.
We'll get Tony with them.
Well, he yeah.
Tony loves to talk.
I mean, he wrote this article after going to some quantum physics
but
symposium.
But going to one
right, so
lecture doesn't mean you know everything.
No, I agree. But, I mean, he must have been getting his ideas from somebody, and they were probably was coming from a quantum physicist.
Yeah, he probably did the whole use it.
I mean, do they even really understand what they're talking about?
That's kind of about the whole thing with quantum physics. It's all about time. Like,
it's not just time. It's about probability.
Yeah, like, because it's not, like, necessarily, I don't know. Happening.
There's no facts in probability.
Yeah, it's not.
A probability.
Like, it might happen this way or it could happen this way.
There's no fact in it, so you really don't know. All you can do is discuss it back and forth and give yourself a headache.
Which I have.
Why don't you pause that for a second?
Alright, there's a couple quotes in here about the whole top-down, bottom-up feedback system that Turner talks about. He says, brain science still concedes that the components of the brain, its atoms, molecules, cells, and anatomy, indeed partially determine in a bottom-up fashion what happens on the holistic level of thoughts, decisions, and feelings. But if the lower hierarchical levels of the brain are both causing and being caused by the higher levels, then the brain's activity is an essentially circular, or better, a spiral or helical process. It is a feedback system determining itself and determining its own process of self-determining. So it's very circular. So then he says that if the universe is something like a brain, the parts of the universe are its past and its mind its future. We might even define the past and future and time itself by means of such a distinction. But if the process of determining of causality goes both ways in time, bottom up in the future words direction, top down in the past words direction, then the universe itself is just as iterative spiral feedback system as is the brain. So he's just talking about, like, the universe can be described as a brain. Like, we can eventually define the past and the future because it's one big circular thing. You're self-determining.
So I think it's the same thing we're already kind of talking about.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Control over the past and the future. They have control over each other.
How he talks about everything is circular. How time is cyclic.
But if he talks about a feedback loop, like in the brain, then that means that it's not all pre-planned.
Well, didn't we kind of discuss in a way, like, if I choose
kind of going back and
A,
forth.
I go on one path, and I choose path B, it goes on one path. So, I mean, it is circular, but it's not at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
There can be changes.
Like how it's
maybe.
Helical?
It can be helical. It goes helical, whatever.
Yeah.
But basically, it's being
maybe it's
altered in a way.
Or dodecahedral.
Right, I think it's that one.
How about isosahedral?
It's probably isosahedral.
Mm-hmm. Like a phage. Phage head.
Yeah.
So there can be changes made, even though that, yeah, it may be repeating, and the past has control over the future, and the future has control over the past, but there's still room for changes, right?
Yeah.
Whether I choose path A or whether I choose path B. And at the same time,
after you make your decision, it's already, like, set to what will happen.
Yeah, if I choose path A, I'm going to go...
I don't think it's saying it's set. I think it's just saying
well,
it's
just
influenced.
Until, like, you make your next decision on
right.
What's going to happen.
But then your next decision is influenced by something that happened in the future. But then...
How's it influenced by something in the future?
Because things that happen in the future have effect on things that happen in the past, just like, you know, the wave slit experiment and all that kind of stuff we were talking about.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
What exists?
I know, that's what he says.
Well, the experiments aren't lying.
I don't get how future can affect.
Well, it's also like with the angels, how we're saying like the angels are our future, and they are affecting us, and to them we are the past. So in a way, if you could see it, like
yeah, and that's talking about on the macroscopic level, and you may or may not agree with that.
Right.
I mean, who knows? You know, but you can't really argue with on the subatomic level because it's experimentally proven.
You can't alter it.
Yeah, I mean it.
You
does
can't change the past of it.
No, but you can't. The future doesn't depict right. Well, like you may have plans for the future, but that doesn't, and that may affect your decisions. But how is that? It's not changing the past.
Well, if I can affect a subatomic particle, I can alter its past. Then eventually, shouldn't I be able to do that with?
On the macroscopic level.
Yeah.
But you know, as Turner was saying in this article, like it, when you get to the macroscopic level, things don't work quite the same because
it's too big and effective.
Yeah, because
can
everything else
it
affects its reality.
Way?
Well,
could I look at it in the same sense?
If you had the ability to affect every single subatomic particle that comprises whatever macroscopic thing you're trying to affect, then maybe you could. But to do each one of those individually would be like, you know, a million lifetimes or whatever it would take to observe each one of those individually.
Or you'd have to create that super being we were talking about.
But that's why, by looking at the Big Bang, then maybe you can affect anything that's happened in the past because it was already below that level. It was below, you know, the subatomic particle level in, as far as size. And that creates every single thing that's led up to any current event. So, you know, maybe you can't look at, like, a picture of yesterday and affect it, but like I was saying before, you could look at the Big Bang and affect everything that's happened up until then.
Okay, Johnny, this concludes our discussion on Turner's.
It's just gonna keep going in circles.
Exactly. The future affects the past affects the future.
We're gonna become a robot race.
I don't think we're going to become a robot race.
We're not really. That's just this non-scientist opinion.
Well, hey, I mean, since we're just wrapping it up, might as well just say, like, what we think about it.
Oh, I think it's bull.
It's crap. It's absolute crap.
I'm a little confused. I'm not really sure what to believe, but some stuff that he says makes sense about the past affecting the future, but
I think past decisions can affect
the future affecting the past, but that's my
opinion. I'll tell you what I buy. I buy that that there is control over the past and the future, and I never thought about it before I read this, but I kind of buy the whole thing about, like, by observing the Big Bang that we have control over everything that's happened up until now, and anyone in the future that observes it has control over even what's going on now. I'm not really into the computer race thing. Even if we do create some kind of computer race, I don't think that they will be the end-all, be-all, because
I don't think any of us believe in a computer race.
I think
you
just watched Matrix one too many times. Sorry.
I just think that even if you had computers that were way more intelligent than we are, there's no inspiration. They don't have any creativity.
No feeling, no emotions.
They're not going to have any desire to try to figure out the secrets of the universe because they don't care. They're only going to do what they were designed to do.
And
so,
information.
For anything to go on and exist and get to some, you know, next level or, you know, be
it's
some future
so
race or whatever, it has to be something that has inspiration. Yeah. And human beings have inspiration and computers don't.
Yeah, I don't think you can affect the past. That's my opinion. I think it's already happened. It's been happened. It's not anything we do is not going to change it. You can change behavior, stuff like that, but that's just what I think.
Okay.
All right, Tony, we had a great semester.
Woohoo!
Yeah, thanks.
Good two
semesters.
Two semesters.
I hope you enjoy this and trust in the angels. They will watch over us.
Woo!
Goodbye.